You're listening to Morning Edition on Capital Public Radio. I'm Steve Milne, and it's Friday, time for our weekly chat about business with Jack Robinson, editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. Hey, Jack.
Morning, Steve.
So what's all this about Sacramento having a hot housing market again?
Well, Steve, you and I have talked before about how there's a shortage of homes for sale here, and that's driving a lot of the price escalation. Ben Vandermeer, our real estate reporter, says that there's another wrinkle. Developers who want to build homes to improve that supply problem worry that there's not enough land ready for development. Still, home builders are cranking up again and selling houses, though they say they are building them a little differently than they did before the recession hit.
And the people buying, are they more price sensitive than they were during the boom years?
Yeah, you would think so. And certainly some of them are. Buyers are more cautious, and so are the banks, of course, that are lending them money. So we aren't seeing the same kind of reckless prices that were the rule in 2005. But something more interesting also is going on. A number of builders told Ben that home buyers have a different attitude today. They're looking at houses more as places to live long term, strangely enough, rather than as an investment that they can sell in a few years and trade up.
So this different attitude among home buyers, is that having any kind of influence on the homes builders are designing?
In lots of little subtle ways, I think it is. We're hearing about buyers that want functional homes that are practical, not just fashionable. For example, flexible space is a big thing, in part because families, you know, these days come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Buyers want rooms that can be repurposed for various uses, in part because they want to be a multi-generational household. And they aren't as fixated on traditional elements like fireplaces or even whole rooms like dining rooms.
Okay, well, let's get an update on Aerojet, our local rocket engine maker. Last week, we were talking about the company, and you said they could announce a big deal any day. And it took how long?
Not even one day. Okay. Something like 90 minutes, I think. Later Friday morning, the company made it official, finalizing a deal to buy a former competitor called Rocketdyne. We have a new set of executives, a new company name, and a lot of interesting news about the company's future that sort of dribbled out over the succeeding days.
New company name, so it's not Aerojet anymore?
It's called Aerojet Rocketdyne. I have to say I feel a little sorry for Rocketdyne because over the years it's been owned by Rockwell, then Boeing, then Pratt & Whitney. Now it's Aerojet. Anyway, the deal is good for Aerojet. The company has something like 1,700 employees here and is poised to grow further. The company is a major space and defense contractor and plays a role in all kinds of big federal programs.
Well, whatever happened to the federal sequester? I thought that was supposed to put a big crimp in defense spending.
Yeah, we kept trying to find out. Mark Anderson, our tech reporter, has not been able to get the company to say word one about how it's affected by the sequester, if it's affected at all. In theory, defense contractors were getting hit with something like a 10% cut, but Aerojet seems to be growing at a good clip. Aerojet's new president, a former Pratt & Whitney executive, said the company needs engineers and is even sponsoring programs in high schools to make sure that bright kids here think about going into space technology instead of creating the next version of Angry Birds.
And I also heard that he told shareholders that the company's working on some kind of stealth technology.
Yeah, this is kind of an exotic wrinkle in the Aerojet story this week. Here is this new company president at the Paris Air Show, where defense contractors always make presentations. And he tells the press that the company is working on a silent propulsion system that would power unmanned vehicles of some kind at the treetop level. So it sounds like something out of James Bond.
Or maybe something that could power a new generation of drones.
Yeah, certainly. Definitely suggests that we'll be talking about Aerojet again soon.
Well, before we wrap it up, let's talk about the Port of West Sacramento. The city of West Sacramento is turning operations over to a private company. What's that all about?
Yeah, starting July 1st, a company called SSA Marine will run the port. It's been there for years, but now will lease the port from the city. It's a good deal for the city, which has been losing money on it. I don't know if you've gone by there recently, but you don't see as much activity as you did in prior years. The volume of freight has been declining for some time. Rice has been a steady source of business, but just about everything else has gone away. SSA Marine operates other ports and could be in a position to help West Sacramento get more business. But the long-term answer is more complicated and expensive. For one thing, the shipping channel needs to be deepened to take bigger ships if the port is going to compete.
All right, Jack, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Jack Robinson is editor of the Sacramento Business Journal. We talk with him on Fridays. You can hear previous business roundups at capradio.org/business.